Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN, and this is where we hear from the businesses and services available in the Buffalo area. If you'd like to be on the program, send me an email at randy.bushover@entercom.com. Doing things a little bit differently for this particular segment, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and thought we'd help to kind of get the word out. And to that effect, we have a pair of guests in here, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Chief Medical Officer with Bryland Behavioral Health System, and Mark Nowak, who is the Director of Marketing for Bryland Behavioral Health System. And Mark, kind of got you batting lead off to explain what it is that, as far as services that you provide there.
Well, thanks for having us in, first of all, Randy. Well, Bryland Behavioral Health System, we're Western New York's premier behavioral health care organization. And what we do is provide compassionate mental health and substance use disorder treatment to individuals of all ages. At our behavioral health care center in Williamsville, we provide outpatient mental health and substance use disorder treatment. And at Bryland Hospital, which is probably what most individuals are familiar with, we have short-term crisis stabilization, hospitalization for children, adolescents, and adults, again, who are in crisis. These individuals may be struggling with depression, anxiety, possibly bipolar disorder, or even having thoughts of suicide.
And Dr. Gupta, just to kind of hammer the point home, some statistics regarding suicide, apparently one of the leading causes of death in the U.S. still.
Absolutely. It has become a major public health problem. There are a number of reasons for that. One being the fact that, yes, there is an increase in diagnosis and people coming out with mental illness, and also the stresses of modern day life, breakdown of the family system, and social media, may I say that at the high, all leading to increased stress, depression. And we all know depression gets related to suicide. Now, when we think about suicide, it's the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. You know, in 2016, about 45,000 people died from suicide. And it's tragic that lives are lost that could be more productive. The fact to think about here is that I don't know if we can always predict suicide, but maybe we can prevent it by many means that's important. And that's where services and crisis intervention and increased community access, knowledge, you know, information, and all play a key role.
And I don't want to necessarily confuse the issue, but you've kind of hit on a couple things. First of all, is it true or is it more of a wives' tale that pretty much everybody at some point has some thought about possibly committing suicide?
I think it crosses a lot of people's mind, but a lot of people just, you know, move on. I think when people are in crisis, so there are a number of factors. So one is the genetics, okay? So there's some literature these days that genetics could be an independent predictor, sometimes independent of even having a mental illness, okay? So genetics is one load. Then the next factor comes is mental illness, like I mentioned, 8 times more likely. Amongst the mental illnesses, mood disorders, depression, and these are the major illnesses that are predicted. Now, when this is complicated by substance abuse, okay, that becomes a really very hot problem. So when we take a substance abuse, some people have mental illness, they have suicidal thoughts, and they're using substances to just control that. That's what's working. That's one model that it can happen. And they're using substance abuse, and then to just treat those mood swings, they're using substances, and then ultimately things go out of control, either with an overdose of substances not being used with the intent of suicide, but with the intent of controlling those symptoms, and people just then die accidentally. But I think more often than not, people actually take the point of really, and it's a moment's decision. They want to take their life at that moment. And a phone call, a distraction, a friend dropping in, something like that is really helpful. Actually, now and more people say that maintaining frequent contact is a really good thing. People who have these kind of tendency, who are on the high risk. So in the mental health field, I don't think I can say that so-and-so is going to take their life tomorrow. I cannot. But we can say this is a high-risk category, okay? And the current risk may be low or the current risk may be high. But you can't say that, like, so-and-so will do this tomorrow. You can never predict that, you know.
This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, September, Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. And to that, we are trying to lend an ear to that potential problem with a couple of guests, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Chief Medical Officer, Brylin Behavioral Health System, and the Director of Marketing for Brylin Behavioral Health System, Mark Nowak, with us. And Doctor, just to follow up on something that you said in your last little bit there, before we get into some of the treatments that can actually be affected for people at Brylin, how, or is it even possible to kind of define who's in a bad mood versus someone who's in a deep depression?
Yeah, so that's a very important question because I think we all go through bad moods, okay? And a bad mood is usually reactionary to some event that occurs, and it is transient, okay? I might wake up in a bad mood today, but then you go to work, you laugh and joke with a few people, and you're your usual self. Or a bad mood for golfers might be they really have an easy miss on a putt and they feel like breaking their club. You know, we all know that. And that's a bad mood. But then the next hole, they get a nice putt and it's all over. The previous hole is forgotten. However, when symptoms are persistent for a long time, they affect the daily ability to function. They slow down the individual, that they are reading a page after page and they can't really concentrate what they read, they can't recall. It affects their relationships, it affects work. It just affects their day-to-day life, sleep, appetite, weight loss. These are persistent factors. They don't take care of themselves, you know? That's a problem. So that's the difference between just bad mood and persistent depression. You know, we call them vegetative symptoms, but really it's a combination of physical symptoms and also a combination of psychological symptoms. Psychological means like feeling hopeless, depressed. Physical, they get constipated, they have aches and pains, they might, just have low energy, things like that.
And once you've established that there's a pattern there, that someone does indeed need some sort of help, two things. First of all, you have to somehow get them to understand they need help or accept that they need help. And then, second part of that, what kind of things, what kind of services do you guys provide at Brylin?
So I think this is important because it's very hard to get patients to accept that they need help because there's this whole thing about shame, stigma. I mean, it was a lot worse in the past. I would say it's way better now, but I think we still have a ways to go. So I think that's the key part that, you know, for example, I see, you know, some professionals, they think they might get fired from work, you know. Physicians often think they might lose their license if they're depressed. No, that's not the case. People want to encourage, think about this like blood pressure. This is just brain pressure, okay? Blood pressure, if you put blood pressure on one side, brain pressure on the other side, the factors leading up to each are about the same. So they both need treatment, and they both need extended treatment. And they need modification of lifestyle also, right? With blood pressure too, you got to lose weight and other things. With brain pressure, modification of lifestyle, cut down stressors, do more exercise, more family interaction, things like that. So I think from that perspective, we really have to encourage people to seek help. Now, I think that's one thing. The other part that we really prefer not to do is to really strongly encourage people to seek help. That means they get signed into a facility without their will. We probably don't encourage that unless we really have to. But we prefer to have people take treatment voluntarily, just like you would take treatment for any other medical illness voluntarily.
And as we've established, you mentioned the genetic component potentially for some people who are contemplating suicide or have depression. And similarly, just more than a bad day at work, a bad stretch at work, or you just got laid off and you can't find new work, all sorts of outside influences can change. So I'm guessing in that vein that there are necessarily different types of treatments or way of trying to treat these people get them on a better path.
And absolutely. There are what we call psychological treatments, medication treatments, and then more aggressive treatments, okay? So I think that just like anything else, when depression starts, the earlier we do an intervention, the better the recovery, the quicker the recovery, the better the long-term prognosis. So earlier we generally try to start with crisis intervention, counseling, focus on the negative distortions, the relationship issues. So if you can get past that, then you may not need medicines, okay? Some people then go to the next step. They need a combination of medication therapy and psychological therapies, okay? And that usually has the best data in the literature, the combination for moderate to severe depression. And then you go past that, if you've tried a lot of psychological therapies and medication therapies, doesn't work, we use electroconvulsive therapy, which is using production of a seizure under general anesthesia, which is done at Breiland too, and that is very effective for a number of people. Not for everybody, but for those who have not responded to other treatments.
What about those out there in the listening audience who are struggling possibly with this depression that we've been talking about, or have these thoughts about potentially harming themselves? How do they reach out? Where do they go?
Well, I think what's important, one of the things that you touched on, Randy, was stigma, right? Stigma is something that it's a negative set of thoughts or beliefs about a particular subject, in this case, mental illness. And stigma can prevent a lot of individuals from reaching out. And one of the things that we're involved in is the Anti-Stigma Coalition of Erie County. And we have a website, which is letstalkstigma.org, where one can get information on resources, where people are sharing their stories and their triumphs in regards to their own mental illnesses. And obviously, people can reach out to us directly by contacting us at 886-8200, or you can go to our website at www.brylin.com for more information. But, just a simple phone call, I think, to reach out to a professional looking for assistance or some guidance and obviously, hopefully, some professional treatment.
And, Doctor, any last thoughts from you?
I think my first suggestion would be to seek help. And in most cases, even the person doesn't seek help, family members and friends, even that extra half hour, 1 hour spent at that time in crisis, leaving other things, would go a long way for getting people into treatment. And getting people into treatment means prevention of suicide,
Very good point. Yeah. And again, that number, 886-8200, these are the people who will have much more information than we were even able to cover in the few moments we had here. My thanks to Mark Nowak, Director of Marketing, Breiland Behavioral Health System, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who is Chief Medical Officer with Breiland Behavioral Health. This is Buffalo Means Business on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.